Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning we will glorify you in all that we do, with our words and with our lives. And I pray for your wisdom and your guidance as I share the word of God this morning. And I pray that people's hearts will be turned towards you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what tends to happen to me is that I will prepare, and then the weekend comes, and then I doubt myself, and I come up with 17 different things that we should do today. And that's okay, because God knows best. And if you've been a part of our church for the last while, we've been going through the book of Acts, and that book is very much not telling you about what the disciples did, but how the Holy Spirit comes in and comes and just empowers you to do the work that God has called you to do. So it's not so much about the Acts of the Apostles, although that's the way that the guys title it. It's about the Acts of the Holy Spirit in and through us and working with us. So like I said, on the weekend rolls in, Friday, Saturday, and I start second-guessing what it is that God wants to do here today. And those three seats were empty earlier, and I felt God say, okay, Brad came and sat on it, so maybe this is for him. But I felt God say, in me speaking today and the three points that I've got, it's going to be very specific for certain people in our congregation. And this isn't just now it touches me and now I have to go home and deal with it and maybe next week I'll come back with a testimony. God is going to do something in our family here today through the empowering of the Holy Spirit for specific individuals. Okay, so if you're nervous, don't be nervous. I should be nervous. But God is going to do a work here with us today. Amen. So hopefully it makes you a bit excited. As I alluded to, we're going through the book of Acts. And my section that I've got to talk about is Acts chapter 20 and 21. And in Acts 20, it is that famous story that some preachers really enjoy, because it is the story of Eutychus, who was a young man who found his way into a house where Paul was preaching, and he thought he was getting the best seat in the house by sitting in the window, get the fresh air. Maybe he was told to be the lookout, I don't know, but he was sitting in the window, and Paul starts to talk, and the Bible says he talks, and he talks, and he talks, and he gets to midnight, and he's still talking. And you can imagine in those days, when that happens, the candles have now burnt out, and they've put new candles. So the lighting isn't these lovely LEDs and fluorescents that keep us awake. There's no coffee machine in the back. And Eutychus falls into a deep sleep. But he's sitting in a windowsill. And he falls out. And he dies. But God, Paul goes downstairs, picks him up, and he says, no, there's still life in this guy. Don't worry. And he carries him back inside. And you would imagine that there should have been pandemonium and chaos. I would have, if I knew Eutychus, I would have been distraught. But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. And you must remember, too, that Luke wrote this part of Acts. And Luke's a doctor, so he knows when people are dead. It wasn't just this, he's dead, and now Paul does a miracle and he's alive. No. Luke, who's writing, says this guy was dead. Paul picks him up, takes him inside, says everything's okay, puts him down in a chair, and you would then expect, I would expect, okay, guys, you guys are tired. You should go home. Let's pull the plug on this teaching time. But he doesn't. What does he do? He breaks bread, and he talks some more. So that's why I say for preachers, remember, we do as Paul did, and we'll just talk and talk and talk and talk some more, and hopefully no one's sitting in the window, because this would be a high fall. It was three stories, so it was actually about that high that Eutychus would have fell from. But I say that to tell you about the importance of Paul's heart to the people that he was talking to. He was a father. Paul's heart towards Eutychus, that young man that fell from the window, his heart was one of picking him up and bringing him back into community, healing him. That's what he did. It was a miracle. If you want to read the story, it's in Acts 20 when you have a chance. at home. I trust that you are reading along with us when we go through the book of Acts. Eutychus isn't, I don't have 12 points that come out of Eutychus or out of Acts 20 about Eutychus, although you could find some. Like, I'll ask Micah, what do you think? Because then we read in the Action Bible that night, and Micah's like, that guy was silly. He shouldn't have been sitting in the window. I said, yeah, that's true. Maybe one of the lessons you can take out of it, if you are going to listen to a preacher talk, get comfortable. Like, sit. Maybe sit between two people, like Les. You know, that way you can fall either which way and you'll be okay. Humor's good. So today I'm going to tell you the 3 points. And if I even get to talk about any of them, maybe I'll just focus in on one. But in reading Acts 20 and 21, I felt the Lord say, trouble. And he said trouble, firstly. Sorry. He said, it's trouble, team, and triumph. And I wanted to get it in that order too. Trouble, for the large part, is what Paul's ministry through the book of Acts was always about. Wherever he went, when he preached the gospel, there tended to be trouble that followed. And I asked God, so Lord, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for this group of individuals in this place? And has anyone got trouble? Just this week, on some of our group chats, there is trouble. And God gives us a way in which we go through this trouble. Because in Acts 20 verse 1, it starts off by saying, after the uproar ceased. Okay, so where Eric told us last week about wine and new wineskin, we fall into this, there was trouble, and then it ceased. And I want to encourage each one of us, as I scan through the crowds here, I want to encourage you that the trouble, the uproar, will cease. So if you find yourself in trouble, which is what I feel like God is impressing upon me now to sort of just don't rush ahead and talk about team and how great team is, but talk a bit about trouble for some people. We know what this world is about. It's broken and it's fallen and it is out to get us. Sin is bad. God is good. So I come to team, which is something that we represented here. But more so, I want to talk a bit about what Paul was doing. And if you read in Acts 20, you will see how Luke makes mention to various people from different regions that are with him. And then they go to the next place, and then more people join, and it's as if some of them disappear. And one of the things I love the most when reading through the book of Acts is when you see Luke arrive on the scene. The narrative is going about they went there, and then they went there, and then they went there, and then we did such and such a thing. So if you're reading in Acts and you see a tense change, it's usually when Luke, who was the writer putting together all of Paul's works, when he comes on the scene. Like when he arrives and he says, okay, now we did this. We jumped on a boat and we went to Philippi. Or when Paul arrived at Philippi, we, meaning him and his friends, met him at the dock and took him into their homes and they spoke. And the whole point of that is that when we build together. We build relationally. And it's not about me and 1,000. It's probably more like me and 5. And we charge one another, we encourage one another, discipline, doctrine, and direction. You've heard those things said from the frontier. But as friends, that's what we want to do. The men had a thing a couple of years back about iron sharpening iron. We want to be those guys refining one another. I need Ken in my life. Ken, who has pastored years and years in local church context, I need Ken because Ken knows stuff and we get to do life together. The best way to learn how to be a preacher or to be a pastor for that matter is not to go to Bible college, and that might offend some Bible students here, But it's to be in a healthy local church with people that have been doing it a bit longer than what you have. Learn from them, get your heart stirred for what God is doing, and then you can go to Bible college and get filled with more knowledge. But your heart is in the right place first off. And if you're in Bible college, keep on going. Don't flake out. Country. Beth, keep on going. Finish strong. I want to ask you, how is your team looking? Do you have guys in your corner? Do you have guys charging you, praying for you, encouraging you? If you don't, I can help you find some guys. We have plenty of ministries in our church that aren't designed to keep you busy on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Friday nights. They're designed to bring people together that have a like interest, that can sharpen each other, and they can push each other into the future that is so important for us. Not just me, and not just Herman, and it's us moving together, getting to know Jesus better. I'm going to put Emily on the spot now. Because ever since Emily joined the church, which must have been about a year and a bit ago, maybe more, it feels like forever. The reason it feels like forever is because ever since Emily joined, I can't name the ministries in our church, maybe bar men's ministry, that she isn't involved in. She looks after my little one, when my under two-year-old in that room, and then she looks, other days she's looking after my six-year-old in this room, and then on the weekends, on Saturday, she's here with the prayer team. She's doing AV sometimes over there when she's not at ladies' ministry on the Monday. And the reason she does it, and I'm going to put this in her mouth, like the thought in her mouth, or if she doesn't know it, she now knows it, is that she's building relationally strong with people. She believes in what she's doing with one another, that God has spoken to her to empty herself and her abilities into this local church. It's an encouragement, what we see, what Emily is doing, for each one of us to find something and grab hold of it. God has equipped you, gifted you with specific skills and skill sets and abilities and all that is in you for a purpose. And I must believe the expression of that is through our local church, through a local church. Maybe you're visiting here for the first time and this all feels strange to you. I tell you, you stick around, you'll find life in it by being a part of it. So I encourage you to be a part of it. On Thursday night at Life in the Word, it looks like this, with all of your faces looking this way at Eric. And the last half hour, we break into these little groups of five or six people. And I end up in the back there with Daryl and Linda and Shalank and Shasti and Tony. I don't know, where's Tony today? Is Tony here? No. Oh, there she is, yeah, behind Linda. And we end up in a group of five or six people, six including me. Six with me. And we ask one another, what are we going to pray for? Because that was the assignment. The assignment was, what are we going to pray for? And out of that 20 minutes, we came up with life-altering prayers that need to be prayed. We need direction for where we want to go. I need discipline in my life so that I know what I'm to do with what God has given me. Shalank, who is working this morning to support his family, him and his wife came here from India, and if you want to know their full story, Shasti is right there. God said, come. God said to Paul, where is it here now? In Acts 20:23. The Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. That is what the Holy Spirit was impressing upon Paul. Shalank was impressed upon in India that they need to come to Canada. There was a calling that said, imprisonment awaits you, Paul. And Paul settles it in his heart, Holy Spirit-wise. I know that that's to come, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do right now, which is preach the gospel, and it does not matter. Shalank is here now with his family, and he's asking, Lord, I need a faith. I need big things to have faith for, because I cannot just come into this culture and coast and just get a comfortable job, have enough money to look after my family, and just bah. I need to know that there's something here for me. And I'm telling you, you'll find it in a healthy local church. Be challenged, be convicted, be refined, have an adventure, start a seed ministry. I look at Stephanie because she's into seeds at the moment. Do what God has got for you in this season. Paul gets told later on in Acts 21, he goes, he stays with a prophet, and other people have prophetic words again for him saying, don't do it, stop. You're going to get imprisoned and persecuted. And you would imagine Paul, he's been imprisoned and persecuted and beaten and stabbed and the rest of it up until this point. Why would it be any different? And yet the people don't want to lose his gift. They don't want to lose who Paul is. And we're not saying that the prophecy is wrong. The prophet was quite right. He did get imprisoned. As you find out at the end of chapter 21, Paul is in Jerusalem now and he is bound. He is imprisoned. The Romans are questioning him, and maybe next week or the week after you'll hear more about that part of the story. Paul, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which is what I charge you with here today, I say, ask the Holy Spirit what he has for you. For now. Not for 10 years, for now. And when he tells you, no, he told you that last week or the week before, go and find out what he told you. Ask him to reveal it to you. Then you stand on that. You submit it here to leaders and friends, your team. We're for you. And we'll pray together. And we will find a way that we can activate what God has called you to do. What he has got for you. Local church, and this wasn't supposed to be a message about local church, is where it happens. This over here, I believe, is where we will see the testimony of a person with a little girl miraculously changed. Her life miraculously changed. We'll see finances released. Just again, you guys struggling, and God comes through. Miracles. The only way we do it is by walking with one another. There will be trouble. God wants you to do it together. And the triumph I talk about, my last T. Paul triumphed. And you would say, no, he didn't. He's in chains in the barracks. He is now locked up. That's not triumphing. And I say, no. He is, because he's doing what God's telling him to do. So no matter how hard it feels where you're in, if you know that God has got you there, he'll allow you to triumph. He will triumph through you, because you're exactly where he wants you. I'm gonna bring this to a close. I'm gonna ask the band to come, and the way we started off today with a prayer meeting that spoke about the inner light inside of you, the bigness of God and what he has got for you. We need a revelation of the bigness and the glory of God that's inside of us, because when we walk in amongst these rows and these where we find ourselves out in the world, the light that's inside of us does shine out, and you want that light to be bright. You want to know that God is in you fully, equipping, empowering you to share the gospel, to share what he has for another person. It's not for you. This is for a dying world that needs to know what the gospel's about. A call to repentance. We don't have it figured out. But what we do know for sure is that God is with us and God is for us. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you're in trouble, if you feel like you've got trouble in your life, and you need someone not to necessarily know your whole story, but to put a hand on your shoulder and say, don't worry, bud, God's with you. There's place up front here. If you don't know or don't have a team, maybe that concept of team has hurt you in the past where people have abused that relationship. Today you get healing from that. Today this team, this local church wants to come around you and support you. And if you need a triumph, if you need a victory cry, if you need those walls to come down, I've got a couple of guys that can shout over you today. We want to see God glorified in all and everything that we have. So we'll close the meeting. If you need prayer, come on up. I see Hannah up front here already. Heavenly Father, we lift up our hands to you this morning, and we ask you that you would come and reveal to us where we have shaded over or brought into the darkness something that you want in the light. Father, I pray today that where we feel like we've got trouble, where we feel like we cannot find a way out, that you can bring a victory, as I know you will with faith today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and lead and guide in greater measure, and that men and women would come around each other in this place, in this local church, and see your great commission fulfilled. People restored, relationships mended. We ask you, Lord, for the fullness of your Spirit to come and lead and guide us right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.